Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower, the membership of the JWs is about 15 million. They are everywhere. Go to a railway station now, Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't answer your door if you get the wrong knock on the door. It used to be Avon calling, now it's the Jehovah's Witnesses calling. And in Potter's Bar, they're everywhere at this present moment. They have their own translation of the Bible, and it's called the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. And it's very difficult, as I've found doing this, to find exactly what they believe. Because if they find it's not being accepted as being really good, they change it. So they're always changing their beliefs. And the way they get over this, because they're contradicting what they've already said, they tell the followers that light of truth is getting brighter. That's something to use with the children when you've got it wrong, parents. All right? So, who found the Jehovah Witnesses? The Jehovah Witnesses' strange beliefs all came from two men, Charles Taze Russell and Joseph F. Rutherford. They made all the decisions for the Watchtower, or the Jehovah Witnesses, for the first 60 years. And Charles Taze Russell was a 33-degree Freemason. What a surprise. The group emerged from the Bible student movement founded in the late 1870s by Russell. He was in fact baptized as a Congregationalist and was raised in a strict Protestant family. And he studied the Bible for himself, and of course he found some errors from the Protestant beliefs. The first one is that he did not believe in hell, but he also didn't believe in the Trinity. So he's an Arian, because that's the Arian belief. And he denied the divinity of Jesus Christ. And in 1879, he founded the journal, The Watchtower. In 1884, formed the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. He was very missionary inclined, and he travelled preaching throughout the United States and Europe. And he organised his followers. He got converts, and they were called Russellites, or Millennial Dawnists, or International Bible Students. And he later adopted the title Jehovah's Witnesses in 1931 because he wanted to distinguish his group from all the other groups around. After his death in 1916, Judge Joseph Franklin Rutherford, a Missouri lawyer who had defended Russell in several legal battles, succeeded him as the president of the society. Rutherford developed Russell's ideas and turned them into a formal church doctrine. And he transformed the congregational structure of the sect, as it was under Russell, into a rigid system governed by priests. And Rutherford actually laid down the foundation of the sect as we know it today. So, what about the Masonic connection? If we look at the first Watchtower, they got rid of this very quickly because of the incarnation of people. There is, we've seen that one? Yeah. That is the Knights Templar, and used this as their symbol, which of course was part of the Mason. And the Knight, the one, can you see that arrow on that side? That is the Knights of Malta. And that again is a Masonic group. So there we have two Masonic right at the beginning of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So it's based on that. How about the books? This is one of his books. Do you see what's written, what's on his book? Yeah. He's got the winged sun disc on there, and it's on quite a few of them. And of course, we've already said that that was the Egyptian god Ra. And can you see what's on this one? Yeah. The triangle or the pyramid. And again, it's another Freemason. Well, this is perhaps one of the most interesting. Now, this is one that's misrepresented on the internet. Don't believe everything you believe on the internet. It's this one here. They'll tell you that that's one of the gravestones of one of the leaders. It is not. It is not over any grave at all of any of the Masons, any of Jehovah's Witnesses. It's 7 feet high and 9 feet across. And on there, it's got the Knight Templar logo. You can just about see it, I think, there. But it's the fact it's a pyramid makes it an association with Freemasons, as well as that bit there. And there is also other inscriptions on that pyramid which tells you that it's associated with the Jehovah Witnesses. It was originally erected not on Russell's gravestone, as many people will tell you, but it was originally erected to put the names of honour of the people who have been working for the Watchtower headquarters. There is no one buried under that. But in the fact that it is still Freemasonry, and their leaders' names and their workers' names are being put on it. There's no disguise that it's not Freemason. Now, their beliefs are quite interesting. What do they believe about creation? They do not believe in the six-day literal creation. This is from the Watchtower. The Bible fixes no duration for the six-day creative days. Instead, it opens the door for modern scientists to study them and assign accurate time spans to them. We know that the creative days were much longer than 24-hour days. So, did they believe that the creative works that God did took 42,000 years? And according to them, each creative day is represented by 7,000 years. Now that means then 42,000 years thou shalt labour, and you're going to get 7,000 years off. Second, this is still theirs, not mine. Second, a study of the fulfilment of Bible prophecy and of our location in the stream of time strongly indicates that each of the creative days in Genesis is 7,000 years long. It is understood that Christ's reign of 1,000 years will bring to a close God's 7,000 year rest day, the last day of the creative week. So based on this reasoning, it took 49,000 years. And that includes the 7,000 years of Sabbath rest, which is still to come. That hasn't arrived yet. What's been happening for the last 7,000 years, because the earth's already formed, they do not tell us. So how it could have taken 42,000 years to create the earth, what has happened, because we're still waiting for the last 7,000 years, they do not tell us. There's a lot of things missing. Belief about God. God is a single person whose personal name is Jehovah. He is not a Trinity. They're very definite about that. Jehovah created everything that exists, which is different to the Mormons. His first creation were two angels, which is the same as the Mormons. Michael, who later became Jesus, and Lucifer. Same. The two angels created by God. Oh, sorry. Believe about Christ. God created Lucifer. His first creation, but he created all other things through Christ, including the universe, the earth, Adam and Eve. Jehovah's outstanding qualities are love, justice, wisdom, and power. From 1881 until 1953, the Watchtower believed that Jehovah resided at the center of the universe on a planet called Alcyone, in the cluster known as Pleiades. They knew this because the Great Pyramid of Egypt pointed it out to them. And I think this is where I have to put it. So, the constellation of seven stars forming the Pleiades appears to be the crowning centre around which the known systems of the planets revolve. Even as our sun's planets obey the sun and travel in their respective orbits, It has been suggested, and with much weight, that one of the stars of that group is the dwelling place of Jehovah and the place of the highest heavens. And that's written by Rutherford. The constellation of Pleiades is a small one compared with the others which scientific instruments disclose to the wandering eyes of man. But the greatness in size of other stars or planets is small when compared with Pleiades in importance, because Pleiades is the place of the eternal throne of God. Is there a similarity between the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yes.
But that was not popular. So what do the JWs do? They take it out. So they no longer publish this sort of work about it, because they find that people are criticising them, and so therefore they don't say that anymore. So what do they believe about Christ? They believe that Christ is a mighty being, but he is not God, and is lesser and a separate spirit being. He doesn't have the same power as God. And they believe that he never thought of himself as being God's equal. And you know where he says that in Scripture when he was on earth. And Jesus was created by Jehovah. He had a beginning and thus cannot be eternal. This is Jehovah's Witnesses, not me saying this. And although he is inferior to Jehovah, he is superior to the angels and rules over part of God's heavenly kingdom. God arranged for Michael to cease to exist and recreated him as Jesus, a human being. He became the Messiah predicted in the Old Testament. On earth he was a perfect human being, but he was not divine in any way. When Jesus died, it was not on a cross, but on a torture stake where he bore the sins of mankind, but this did not include Adam's sins. They're very particular about the fact Christ did not die on a cross. Very particular. I don't know why, but they are. This released man from Adam's sin and legacy and gave them a chance to be worthy of eternal life if they are faithful witnesses. Not Christians, not believers, witnesses. All right? There's only one church, not ours. What did Jesus look like when he rose from the dead? We know what the scripture tells us. Jesus rose from the dead as a spirit, not physically. His body was dissolved away and taken away by God. And during his visitation to people on earth, he manifested a temporary physical body for them to see and touch. Easy to get over the problems. Belief about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jehovah's active force. Now remember what we were talking about with the Masons, about active forces and spirits that he uses to accomplish his will. He is not a person and is not part of the Trinity. Belief about Satan. Jehovah appointed Satan, Lucifer, to watch over the earth, but he became jealous. Satan dared challenge Jehovah's right to rule, and he seduced Adam and Eve and became Satan. And he was given 6,000 years to try and win over humanity. When he fails, Jehovah will re-establish his kingdom and destroy Satan and all his rebellious followers, thus vindicating his name. So God's allowed him to tempt us and prove that he can't win us over. After Adam's sin, God instituted a system of redemption which was revealed in the Bible and would ultimately lead to the crucifixion of Jesus the Messiah. Now that Adam and Eve had failed, God needed to have a visible organisation on earth to accurately represent him. And this true organisation was in the Old Testament. And who were the Jehovah's Witnesses in the Old Testament? Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, etc. They're all Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus returned to earth in 1914. invisibly, because he hasn't got a physical body now, so you can turn invisibly. That date is sort of like the date for Easter. You can move it from one place to the other. It doesn't always 1914. It depends on what mood they're in. And he's working through his organisation to re-establish his kingdom on earth. Now, which organisation is he working from? Of course, we don't have to guess. But it wasn't until the 1800s the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society became the only true channel of God's truth on earth today. And they are the only people who can interpret God's word. Now, if you've got your members and you're telling them no one else can interpret God's word but us, and we're not talking about the sort of organisation we have here, they have a very high hierarchy that makes the decisions. They are the only ones. You're not going to get a lot of rebellion or a lot of people leaving. Now, they believe that Jehovah is the judge of mankind. But Jesus has been appointed, because they do use the Bible, to judge each human being and decide their fate. And he will also be used to judge the resurrected dead. Now, when do they believe that the judgment begins and how long it lasts? They believe that judgment day will be after this battle of Armageddon. A complete misinterpretation. There's going to be no Third World War, and during Armageddon, when all the nations on the earth fight each other, Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. And after Armageddon, after that battle, and he's been defeated, they believe that he's going to be put into an abyss for 1,000 years. Now, if anybody doesn't understand Armageddon and the abyss, perhaps I should be doing a study on the book of Revelation right now and not this one, all right? Because we should know what that means. Armageddon is symbolic. It is not real. And the abyss is symbolic. It is not real. And during this time, when Satan's been put away for 1,000 years in the grave, because that's what the abyss is, 144,000 heirs of salvation will be judges and will rule as kings with Christ for 1,000 years. There's a special 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses who are going to go to heaven, and they're going to be rulers for 1,000 years. In fact, forever. And Jesus will then be on earth during this 1,000 years, and he'll be judging the living and the dead. And this is an interesting statement. They say the judgment will not focus on what people did before they died. Yeah, I found that confusing as well, Joyce. what are you going to judge them on? And they do this by misapplying Romans 6 verse 7, which says, the one who has died has been acquitted from his sins. You know, just that tiny little bit, and they don't bother about the bits before, after, or any other verses. They believe the resurrected come to life with a clean slate. So when you've died, no matter what you've done, you come back and you're okay. You can start all over again. And the scrolls that are opened, because we believe that's the scrolls about people's lives, the scrolls that are open represent God's requirements, or his further requirements, for the ones who have just been resurrected. So to live forever, the survivors of Armageddon and the resurrected ones will have to obey this new revelation in the scrolls, obey God's commandments to be able to live with God forever. And this, of course, will be revealed to them during the 1,000 years. And you will then be judged, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, on what you have done since then, only what you've done during the 1,000 years. What you did before you died, or before the 1,000 years started, you will not be judged on that. And this then is what is the second chance, isn't it? Second chance. And we know that there is a generally accepted religious belief of the being good taken up to heaven and the wicked staying in it and given a second chance. So it's all around. And after judgment, the wicked will be killed permanently. And everybody after the judgment will become perfect human beings. They don't say they're given new bodies. Nowhere does it tell you that they're given new bodies. But then Satan is released. And he will go around and try and mislead everybody for a last time. And this is the misuse of Revelation 20, verse 3, 7 to 10. And those who resist him during this time will enjoy complete fulfillment of the bride's promise. The righteous will possess the earth and they will live forever on it. And you'll find all of that on their site about the 1,000-year reign. This is poor old Adam and Eve are not getting a good deal in this. Since the Supreme Judge never makes a mistake, there is no need for him to take under review any judgment that he has passed. His judgments are final. Remember, when we go to heaven for 1,000 years, we're going to look to see whether he's right or wrong. God's open. But here, he's not. It's final. You don't count. That's it. Whatever I've decided, you lot just keep still. This means that the people who perished in the flood of Noah's day will never be resurrected to stand trial again. The same is true of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, as well as Adam and Eve. All had their judgment day before the great judge of the universe, and all were sentenced to destruction. They will never have a conscious existence again. That's taken from the Watchtower. I must send them the book from Ellen G. White. Come now to towards the end of my presentation, their belief about end times. This is the bit that tends to appeal to many people, and this is the bit they push a lot. They believe that the end times began in 1914, so it's already started. But they do realise that most of us are unaware that this has actually taken place. And they believe that when the end finally comes, only 144,000 human beings will go to heaven. And they will rule the earth from up there. And these are known as the anointed. And becoming an anointed person is not something that is done by voting or selection. The anointed person knows that they are anointed, because God has revealed it to them. And these are the ones, if you go to the Mormon, to the Jehovah's Witnesses Church, we have communion, we've got one coming up on the 5th. Everybody will take part, but not in the Jehovah's Witnesses. Only the selected few are allowed to take part. The general membership are not allowed to take part in it. And so, if you're not an anointed one, you just watch. And if you're not anointed, you're not going to heaven. Simple as that. They will survive Armageddon, the unanointed ones, and they will live forever on earth in the kingdom of the new world. And the final battle between Jehovah and Satan, the battle of Armageddon, is to start very shortly. We're going to see this happening soon. No doubt they think that all these things that are happening in Paris and ISIL are all parts of it, which is not true. And it will shortly settle the question of who rules this earth. And eventually fire from heaven will come down and destroy Satan and his spirit beings. And then Jehovah will be in charge once more. Now, this is a very strange belief that we have now. The anointed ones are the ones who have immortal life. And all other witnesses have everlasting life. Now, I can't see a difference between those two, but nevertheless, there is. Those who have immortal life do not have resurrected bodies. They are spirit bodies. Immortals do not depend on food and air and water to exist. They are given a portion of power and are self-sustaining, not even depending on God. This is the 144,000. All right? The one, they're special. And those who have everlasting life have a resurrected body that must be maintained through eating and rest. They are dependent on God and His creation. So, conclusion. You could see, as I've gone through this, I'm sure, you could see Freemasonry in it. And you could see a similarity between the two religions, even though there are differences there. They all do away with the divinity of Christ. Let me just get rid of that picture for a minute, excuse me. In John 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth." If that doesn't tell you that Christ is God, then what must? And Satan is made equal to or a replacement for Christ one way or another in those religions. And John 1 John 3 verse 8, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." The devil is not equal to Christ. Christ is much more powerful than he is. They all believe in the immortality of the soul. 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." So we die and only alive in Jesus Christ. They believe we are on our way to becoming divine, to becoming gods. Galatians 6:3, "For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And the only way for you to be saved is through their organisations. And Jesus said in Acts, we're told in Acts, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." That's my presentation. Amen.